Can God use me? Do I have a place, Lord, in your economy? What about my past? Lord, I have questions. What about my doubts, Lord? My fears? I feel as though I wonder about those things. I feel like a ship almost on the ocean, kind of knocked around, tossed around. But the Lord has come to be an anchor. The Lord has come to be a rudder, that there may be now direction, that you might not anymore feel as though there's, that you're just being tossed around to this one, to that one, over here, now over there. God has set the rudder in your life. God has determined the direction now. God has taken hold of the rudder of your ship, says the Lord, and He's giving it purpose. You're going to finish the race that began, because there's a strength in you and a perseverance. That's, if someone says something about you, you know, she perseveres. There's a persistence. In spite of the fact that there's been a, what seems like at times an aimlessness, there's, at the same time, there's been a persistence and an unwillingness to let go and to give up and to turn around and to quit. But all the while, there's been questions, there's been doubts, there's been fears, there's been unanswered questions. But the Lord has come to clean all that up, to clear it up in your mind and to clear it up in your heart. I see a bright new day of understanding, a bright light of illumination. I see a new day beginning to dawn before you, where there's determination along with persistence, because now you know there's a goal. Now you know there's a future. Now you know that there's a real port to be heading to. Now you know there's a real place that God's called you to. And the things that you learned and have acquired through study and through skill, you're going to find that they were not useless, but they are useful. The things that you've been through that you thought were not purposeful, all of a sudden now have purpose. This is the day, says the Lord, I am with you and I've taken the rudder of your life and I'm giving you direction.
There's a unity in the thought of the Spirit when it comes to you, as we were seeking the Lord about your life. And the Lord spoke to me that there are some things that have transpired in your life in your past, particularly when you were young, that the enemy has used as a lie to disqualify you for the fullness of what God has for you. And it's not important what it was, but there are some things that the enemy has used to disqualify you. And that's the greatest lie the enemy has ever put on anybody. Because if you have accepted Jesus Christ and the blood, and you have Holy Spirit in you, there is no condemnation for those who walk in the Spirit. And you need to understand, and I feel that very strongly, and I'm going to ask Pastor, and when we pray for you, you need healing tonight. More than anything else, because you feel, I'm just going to say what God says to me, is that all right? And because you feel worthless sometimes. What am I on this planet for? I feel like a piece of garbage sometimes. And then all the stuff in the past starts coming up just to qualify your feeling of worthlessness. And I'm here to tell you tonight, sister, you are valuable to God and you're valuable to this house, and God loves you, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. And the blood of Jesus, I want you to know, and there's something that we've lost in the world of psychology, and that is, is that you, they say you've got to go back in your past and you've got to deal with all that stuff. You don't need to do any of that. Here's what you need to do. Say, Holy Spirit, some things happened to me in my past, and you know what they are. I need for you to go back at that point and heal it all and deliver it, that there is no more memory, there is no more hurt, there is no more pain, there is no more shame, and the worthlessness will go away in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know, and you, I don't know if everybody said this to you, you are valuable to this house and where it's going, because the pain and the thing that you have been through is the very essence when God heals you and sets you free and rises you up in the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that's going to do it, okay? You're going to take hurting people that are going to come to this house, and no one else will understand when they say, I feel worthless. They say, well, get a life. No, you're not going to say that to them, because you know what it is when people say to you, get a life, when no one's healed your pain. And so there's a rising coming. There's a healing coming to you, sister. God loves you. And I know that you will live a life. I'm not going to say it's going to happen all just bam, but it could. We're going to pray for healing and deliverance from you, not some spirit and all this stuff. We're not going to get into that. Healing and deliverance from the pain and feeling that you're not qualified to be what God wants you to be. And I believe God's going to heal your spirit and your heart and your memory tonight.
For some reason, I thought as you came up here that you were like a florist, but you're not a florist. You only delivered flowers to everybody. In other words, you've given out to everybody. But you never got flowers yourself. Nobody gave you flowers. But you're giving everybody flowers. You take them the flowers, and you go to the next house, and you give them the flowers. But you realize you never experienced someone giving you flowers. Tonight, God has given you some great flowers tonight. He sees you, and He's going to give you the most beautiful, beautiful bouquet of flowers to express His love to you. He loves you. This is a special time for you, because it's going to be a life-changing moment right now for you. Because you have a personal, now you realize you have a personal relationship. Not just because you go to church, but because you know the one who created the flowers is giving you His flowers today. For you, special. You're special to Him. That's important. Not just for you, but for those that you're going to touch in the future. Those you're going to be contact with in the future. I see. I didn't understand. I thought she was a florist, but she's not a florist. She delivers flowers, but never receiving flowers. And God's given her flowers tonight.
Like to have Pastor Karen, Sister Dee, and Pastor Kathy, would you come, please? I feel we need to lay hands, and it's only proper that the wives lay hands on her. And we're going to pray for healing. Let's stretch our hands. This is important. Can you all hang in here with us? This is really, really important. This woman is being set free tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, as the mothers and of the house and sisters in the Lord lay hands on this woman in the name of Jesus, we decree this woman healed in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I ask that you go in the past from her birth. Holy Spirit, I ask, I humble ourselves, and I ask, Holy Spirit, go in her past right now. And every event, everything that's happened to her, every hurtful thing, Holy Spirit, would you go and touch that time right now, instantaneously, because you are, you was and is to come. And so, Father, you can go in her past, and you can heal right now. You can take the sting away, Lord. You can heal her, Lord. And, Father, we decree her healed. Every spear, every dart, every word sitting in her heart, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we humble ourselves in Jesus. I now come and say, let the virtue and the portal of heaven open over this woman, and let the healing, here it comes, sir, and let the healing of Jesus Christ, he took this on the cross, sister. Isaiah 53, I speak it in your life. Jesus took what you went through on the cross, and it is done tonight. We decree, declare, and speak healing in your spirit, in your soul, and in your heart. Now, Father, I ask that you give this woman of God an image, the new image, as she looks in the mirror, even tonight or tomorrow morning. Let her start to see the pain is gone and the worth has come. And she will declare, I am somebody in Jesus. I am a daughter in Zion. I am like the rose of Sharon. I am like the lily of the valley. I have a beauty now. I have an awesomeness now. And you're going to rise up. And you have never really been able to worship God, God's telling me, because of all this junk. This night, you will start to worship God in spirit and in truth like you've never done before. In Jesus' name, we seal it right now. Hallelujah.
Amen. We just agree with what you already know, Father. And we speak release, healing, and wholeness. New day, new life, life in you, fulfilled for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. To know it. I know it's getting late, but God's not done. So just stand by your brothers and sisters.
Life is good. Hallelujah. Life is fun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a joy and a peacefulness and a simplicity and a likability and a loveliness, says the Lord, about you that is joy and brings life and light to all those who know you. They're blessed by you. There's also a gifting in you. something that has been kind of dormant. And there are going to come those along beside you in the house that are going to help you to hone in the gift of kindness, the gifts of love, the gifts of fruits of peace. There'll be gifts of understanding and gifts of blessing and knowing how to bless others and knowing how to pray for others and knowing how to minister God's love and peace to others. And I would encourage you tonight to open your heart to the guidance and to the instruction that is to be given and to receive it, because the intention is to get you in a position of service and to get you into a place where you can be a bridge of love to other people who feel as though they are outcasts and don't have a place in the body of Christ. You'll be an example to those in the house of the Lord that God has a place for every single person. That every single person, regardless of anything, has a place in the purposes in the body of God. And the joy that you bring and the life that you bring and the happiness is a delight unto the Lord. And it's a delight unto this house. And there's a welcoming spirit about you that as you respond to the teaching of others, your welcoming attitude and generous spirit of welcome will be transferred onto many even in this house. You'll be a kind of an example of what it is to be the welcoming committee in the house. Your friendliness and outgoingness will be attractive, saith the Lord. And there are those in this community that will feel like they also can have a place in this house because of you. Because there's a likability. There's a connection. So you'll be a bridge even to people in this community that have been disenfranchised and set aside and marginalized, saith the Lord. You will show them that there is a place in the economy of God for them.
Lord is showing me that you're working out on the outside what you want to have happen on the inside. You're a very loving person, and you love God, and you're exuberant in your expression. And you're trying to work it out. But deep down inside, you desire a connection that's not really happened between you and God yet. Deep down inside. Almost there's a fear to let God in, because you've been done on in your past. You have really been done on. I can see it in your eyes. I see it in your spirit. There's nothing to be ashamed of, brother. Because God takes all the wounds and all the weaknesses and all the stuff that's happened to us, and He turns it to His glory. And so what's going on inside you is you have a desire for the inside to match up what you do on the outside. Because you don't like people who are fakes. Either you are real or you're not. But the problem is in the spirit, you wrestle with that because you don't feel in your heart that you have that connection with the Father that you should have. And because you've been hurt in the past, and because people have done some pretty nasty, I know it's not important with it, but people have done some pretty nasty things to you. Past. And so sometimes what that translates into is that we have a fear of letting God in totally. Just have carte blanche, God. Just come in and do what you got to do in my life, whatever it is. And we don't let Him do that because we're fear of the pain, we're fear of the rejection, we've had it so much in our natural life that there's an innate fear inside of us to let God be who He's going to be inside of us, because there's a little fear of releasing that to Him. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a confidence in you that God's going to speak to you. Holy Spirit's going to be released inside you. Okay? And I'm just going to say to you and to you what God said to me. He says He's afraid of me in an unhealthy way. There's a difference between awe and reverence and fear of the Lord and being afraid of God. So God's going to, by His mercy and by His grace, He's going to work that in your heart. He's going to start working in. He's going to, if I can just do this, He's going to massage your spirit, massage your heart. And He's going to put a little oil on there, and He's going to massage it. It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Because if it happens overnight, it can leave overnight. Change never happens just like that when it comes to the Spirit of God. I had an old prophet say one time, if you're in a hurry, get out of the way, because Holy Spirit is never in a hurry. Okay? but he's going to massage your heart, massage your spirit. You're going to times you're just going to break down and cry. I'm going to tell you right now, you're just going to bawl, and you're not going to know why you're crying. And you're going to feel foolish, because men feel foolish when it happens. But then you stop and say, Holy Spirit, is this you? And I can tell you the voice, because I've had it. I know these brothers have had it. Is that you? It's just me. Trust me. I'm coming alive inside you. I'm showing you that I care. I'm connecting my spirit. Your spirit and your heart are now being connected. And you're in being introduced to the Holy Spirit that's been living in you a long time. But he's been like bottled up because of this fear of God. And that canister is going to be broken in the name of Jesus.
I see him as one that has bought into the name of this church and the spirit of this church. Where I know I've watched you with worshiping the Lord. But that's not what you would do out there. When you came to this place, God set you free. There's a freedom here that you enjoy being here. You enjoy the freedom and liberty, but that's not the way you express yourself out there. But God's saying he's going to bring this freedom that you gained in this place. He's going to bring it to be expressed everywhere you go. And you're going to be that free man for God everywhere you go. But it's cost you. It's cost you. Your boldness has cost you for the Lord. But he sees that. He keeps an account. There's a book being written about you right now. Do not lose the freedom that you've gained. See what I'm saying? The devil has lost the soul that he thought he had with you. But God has set you free. You bought into the message of this house. You become violent in your dance before the Lord. Be as David. Be as David. Because you love him. And you appreciate what God has done in your life. He set you free. He set you free from great bondage. You're here. And you're never going back to the other stuff. They bind you. They tie you up into knots. But you're free. Now he's going to let you be free. Everywhere you go, you're going to be free. Not just here in this place, but out there too. I don't know what you do for a living, but wherever that is, they're going to be in shock. They're going to be in shock. There's going to be more.
Let's all stand. Just, we have one more. We forgot. We had one brother that was hanging out in the back there. We're going to get him before we go home. We're going to get you, brother. We're going to get you. I said we're going to get you.
Complete the work, Lord. That's what he's saying. He's going to complete the work, Eddie. He is going to complete the work. Nothing you have to do except agree with him. And so we agree with him that he's going to do what he wants to do. For his honor and glory, we thank you, Lord, for his life. Bob Desaro is coming up.
I keep hearing the Lord say, brother, is get planted. And I don't know how long you've been here, and it really doesn't make a difference. But the Lord wants you planted. He wants your roots to grow deep. First in the Lord, and then in this place. Are you in a sense that sometimes you're wondering, do you belong or don't you belong? And when God sends us to a place, it doesn't make a difference whether we think we belong or we don't. It's where we need to be planted. There's a lot of trees in the midst of storms in the middle of a garden that say, I don't belong here, but yet I'm planted here. And so as you start to go through your spiritual walk, I believe the planting of the Lord is going to be upon you. There's a solitude of God coming aside. You're going to be like an oak tree. Because God loves you. And even as it's almost prophetic that you were standing in the back of the church and we almost missed you. But God's going to start bringing you into the center court of this house and start using you. Because you're valuable to Him. You're kind of carefree, but you're valuable to God. And there's a freeness in the spirit that God's going to do and use you for. Hallelujah.
Well, we pray for this man tonight, God, that, Lord, I just pray you to heal him. There's been some separations in his life, some things that have happened that separated him from people. And it wasn't something that he set out to do. It wasn't something he wanted to be a part of. He just kind of fell into it. These separations were hard. These separations were difficult. And I know, God, he suffered for that. That largely sometimes due to misunderstanding, some of them, Lord. But some, I know in his heart, he carries a little bit of guilt for. And I pray, Father, that tonight you'd remove that guilt, Lord. Because you've really called him to be a unifier. You've really called him to be one. He wants to be involved in what, God, you're doing. There is an enthusiasm in his life to be a partaker of the things of God and be in the kingdom of God, working, Lord, in your vineyard, God, pulling people together, not pulling them apart. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we lay our hands upon him tonight and asking, God, for you who are the great unifier of all. You are the one who brought humanity together on the cross. You are the one who united us as a brotherhood in Christ and said, let there be no division among you, God. Tonight in Jesus' name, we proclaim a unifier in this brother, Lord Jesus. That though he has suffered from separations in his life, God, he would now know how to bring unifications, God. He would know how to bring unity, God. He would know how to be a gatherer, Lord. One who comes together. One who brings people together. One who delights in gathering with the house of God and unifies and even has others take it. Even he takes them by the hand and brings them and connects them to the purposes of God. Make him a unifier, we pray, in Jesus' name.
I see, tonight I got to be careful because when I came in, this guy was doing the stroll up here. And I saw him as a worshiping and setting an atmosphere here. I don't know if that's what you normally do, but I just sense somehow there's a connection with setting the atmosphere in the house of the Lord. And the Lord is not just to be a spectacle, but it's a purpose. There's a purpose for it. And the Lord wants you to help set the atmosphere on a regular basis in this place. It means you got to get here early. It means you're going to have to get here, you know, before the people can see you. But you're going to begin to set the atmosphere for worship in this house. Now, I don't know. They kept saying he was in the back. I don't know what he was doing in the back. Is he like the bouncer or something? But I see somehow, Pastor, I see him going with you some places. He's going to be a help to you in the spiritual aspect of what you're going to go out to do. He may drive you. I don't know if he's a good driver or not. But if you're not, you need to go get educated on driving. Because God's going to have you carrying precious cargo, okay? But nevertheless, the reason you're going to be involved with that is because you know how to set the atmosphere. And God wants you to continue to set the atmosphere. Now, I don't want to seem like I was watching you. On the same sense, it's an important part of the service of the house. Nothing can happen during the service if we haven't prepared. I knew a man, I used to be involved with the Full Gospel Businessman, and this guy traveled all over the world. He would be in foreign countries. We called him the Whistler. I don't know if anybody been involved with Full Gospel Businessman years ago. But I remember him coming into the church services or into the place of gathering where we were going to be gathering, and he would go over each chair and lay hands on the chairs, praying over the chairs. And you would hear him whistle, this like a bird that was in the sanctuary. Some bird got captured, and he would hear this. It was him all these years. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And I'm going, "What's that bird?" And this is the guy, and I never remembered his name. I just remembered he came early before the service and laid hands on all the pews. You know how big Rock Church was at that time. He would lay hands on all the areas of the church, and I would hear this bird sound. But I see you as one who sets the atmosphere for the wonderful things that God wants to do in the church services. Now, I don't know how that's going to work out, but I see him somehow connected with you in travel. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.
I do just want to say, and again, I could be way off base here, discerning pastor and you, but I do almost feel that there has been or was a stigma that was placed upon you at some point in your life that wasn't a good thing, and if you've held on to that at all, and it's tripped you up at any, God wants you to know that that's been removed. That doesn't exist. And it doesn't exist in this place. Whatever maybe you have been and gone before, and there was a stigma maybe attached to you, I want you to know that tonight in Jesus' name, that is removed. It's gone. You're a connector, a unifier. I see you as like that connecting little block. My grandkids play with them where they got the little sticks that come. You're a connector. You're a unifier. You're not a separator. Okay, in Jesus' name. So,
amen. And Bob, the Lord's telling me to treasure these things in your heart. That what he's speaking, take it in and treasure these things. Father, I just release him to be who he is in you. No restrictions, Lord. No boundaries other than the ones you place upon them. Thank you, Jesus, for his life and for the mission you place deep within him. For your glory, Jesus, we pray.
Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. Have the worship team come up. We're going to close with worship. Have the worship team come up, please. I was going to share a brief word with you, but the hour is late. Let me just capsulize it. That Psalm 92 speaks about a planting of the Lord in the house of God. And the Lord said to me, I'm going to be putting plantings of oak, strong Lebanon trees, cedar trees. They're going to be strong, big, Pastor Mac, but these trees, as strong as they are, they're going to be like palms. Palm trees flow. Palm trees bend back and forth. But yet in the root, you're an oak or you're a cedar and you're not moving. And then the Lord said to me, tell the people that anointing of fresh oil is coming upon this house. Fresh oil. fresh oil. And then there's one other thing, the Lord, before we close and go in there, the Lord told me, and he told me I was going to do it tomorrow. He says, no, you need to do it tonight, concluding presbytery. And that is God's desire in his house is to bring every walk of life of people that he has created. And I'm going to say this bluntly. We need to see the Spanish community in this house. We need to see the Black community in this house. And we need to see the Caucasian community in this house. We need to see the Asian community in this house. And every one of you knows people of those cultural flavors. And I want you to understand, because Martin Luther King, who was a prophet to this nation, and we're still walking out the prophecy that we are not known by the color of our skin, but of the content and character of our hearts. And it is time the church stops what's going on in our nation, and that every church would be nice if I had like one third Spanish and one third from the Black community and one third from the white, and then the Asian just come on in, and just the congregation's face needs to change. And I'm saying this to you because the anointing of the fresh oil, God has said no church is going to explode until they bring all those who I have created in the midst to be part of it. Amen. Amen. We give it up with praise. And just one other thing I need to do, because I've seen you all night, and I know you're one of the elders and this and that. And I know some things because I've never been around you. But the Lord has told me that there's a heaviness and a weight that's been on you. And you're losing your joy. And it's starting to bug you. And God's coming to lift you up tonight.
Hallelujah.
Give it up, okay? Give it up. You got it. You're a joyful person. But this heaviness is starting to weigh in your spirit. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I have not talked to her nor you. But you're vital to this house. Don't let the past, and don't let your hurts, and don't let your disappointments, and don't let unfulfilled expectations weigh your heart down anymore. Give them to the Lord and start worshiping God. Can you hear me on that? Let's worship God. Amen.